Well, we're very blessed tonight to have Pastor Pat Ancliffe with us all the way from C3 Church, Oxford Falls. Pastor Pat Ancliffe is a multi-talented man, highly educated, and actually is the principal of the Bible College. So that's pretty cool too. 170 students in C3 Bible College in Oxford Falls, plus the online students on top of that. So Pat's over all that whole, which is great. And we've done some of the online courses. We love them, don't we? And also, Pat has the privilege too of overseeing C3 Africa, the fastest growing region still in C3. There's over 100 churches in Africa now. Almost. It's in the 90s. Okay. So we're in the 90s. Pretty good. 90 churches. Well, we can claim four of those. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Liberia. Come on, Susan, give me some Liberia or something. Fantastic. Let's welcome. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Welcome Pastor Pat Ancliffe tonight as he speaks a word to us. Thanks, musos. You may take your seats.
Thank you. You may be seated. It's so good to be with you guys. Had to think for about a nanosecond after getting the invite to come. Would I like to come and be a part of Leap Into Spring Conference and a part of stepping into all these great initiatives going on into the future and building on what you've done? I said, let me think about that. Yes, I would like to be a part of that. Over time, Amanda and I have just been blessed by your pastors. We've worked together in the great continent of Africa, and we have got so much respect for your pastors and what's happening here. Pioneers go places that other people sort of shy away from. And there's a pioneering thing on this church. To come into Fremantle and just keep on being here for years and years, but not just be here, but shine a light and establish a charity that impacts so many people. And, I love it that for a lot of churches, that'd be enough. But then you're in the Philippines and Burma-Chinese border, India, and then Liberia, four churches now. We just think it is absolutely brilliant. So a huge salute. And I would also like to just say, because I'm on our C3 Global Directors, and I am in all the gatherings where we talk about where we're going with planting churches and what we want to do for the future. And you're really appreciated that you would so grab a hold of the 2020 vision and go into places like, now, not just, Liberia on a good day, but when there's Ebola breaking out. Just get in there and do the stuff. Hardcore, I think you might call it. And there's a hardcore anointing on this church to not just go where it's easy, but to go and do stuff because it's in our Father's heart. And our Father's heart is for this community, amen? And our Father's heart is for all these places that God has put on the heart of this church. So it's just a delight to be with you. I'm looking forward to tomorrow as well. Got another completely different message for you tomorrow, which I'm really excited about. But before sort of launching into what I want to share with you, I thought I'd show you just a 30-second film clip of one of our worship leaders from Uganda. And this is in northern Uganda, which, like Liberia, was subject to a 20-year civil war. Absolutely devastating. We have 12 and... we've got 40 churches in this part of Uganda that most of the world just knows that it's where Kony was. Remember Kony 2012 and make Coney famous, to not let him get away with the things he was doing. We've got 40 churches there. And I was just there in May, and this group of 12 churches has, just like the way you are cracking open Liberia for C3, C3 Crawley has helped crack open Gulu District, and there's now a dozen churches there. And I just want you to see the worship leader in our conference, and then contrast the worship leader with Julie, who's this beautiful girl on our team at Oxford Falls, but it's white worship, right? So you're going to see African worship, and then you're going to see white worship. So I thought you'd enjoy this. Just check it out. It's about 30 seconds. Julie's doing her best. There you go. So, isn't that amazing? The joy of the Lord. It's almost like, you better let me dance or it's going to come out some way. And that is in a place where for years it was only known for terror and for darkness and for no hope, and now is known for the joy of the Lord and God's good news going and transforming communities, just like this church is doing, not in northern Uganda, but in other parts of the world. In fact, in a whole bunch of other parts of the world, which is absolutely brilliant. Well, I wonder if I could get you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 26. We're going to have a look at the Apostle Paul and a part of his story when God called him to go and make a difference in the Gentile part of the world. The Apostle Peter was zeroing in on the Jews, and Paul was called to go to the Gentiles. This is our call, is it not? To go to the parts of the world where people haven't heard about Jesus and to bring a witness of him. And so there's a bunch of things in this call which are not just for the apostle, but are for us as people who now have the job of taking the gospel. So we just want to have a look at a few of those as we go. So Acts 26, starting verse 12. And he's standing before this king. He's actually in prison. And for Paul, that just means, wow, what a great opportunity to talk to a whole bunch of people I otherwise would not have got the opportunity to talk to. And so he's standing before this king with a really cool name, Agrippa. Imagine as a kid, you know, get a grip of yourself, my boy. And he is standing there. He's heard about this crazy guy, and he wants to hear his story. So Paul stands up and he says, verse 12, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. I'll just stop there. Do you know what a goad is? It's a sharp stick that you use to make, like a bullock, go the way you want it to go. Right, so if you've ever heard the term of being goaded into doing something, right, that's where it comes from. Where are we up to? 15. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up, stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I'll rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's rich, isn't it? Four things. Now, if you're taking notes, there's four things we're going to look at. These are the main points. God is calling us to stand up on our feet. He's appointed us, number two. We have been rescued to be sent. Number three. And fourthly, we have been sent to open people's eyes and turn them to God. Let's just commit this to the Lord. Father, we give you this precious time together as we come together, dreaming about the next part of the journey, leap into spring, what we're doing here locally, shining a light to your glory, but also these places that you have called this great church all around the planet. Father, we pray that you would speak to each one of us individually tonight, tomorrow, and that you would lead us in how we're going to participate in this great thing you're doing. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. So the first thing here, verse 16, look at what it says. Now get up and stand on your feet. I think that's pretty wild. Paul has just been knocked to the ground, and there's something else that he can't do at the moment. What is that? He can't see. He's been knocked to the ground. He can't see. And you'd think that, you know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, might come alongside and say, oh, poor Paul, it's okay. Don't worry. It's all going to work out all right. But instead, there's immediately this call to stand on his feet. And I love that about God. That, you know, we can be doing what we're doing in life, and we can sometimes have life or circumstance take us to the ground, and God's not saying, okay, for you, a few tough circumstances have come your way, okay, it's plan B for you. You're not going through everything in your world brilliantly at the moment, it's plan B, you can't have the first plan I had for you. It's sort of like the reserve plan. God is calling each one of us, and I love this. And it's like it's an attitudinal thing where he's saying, you can stand up on the inside and say, God, I'm in for the big picture of what you're doing. It's not one day when I've got everything sorted. You know what? I'll never have it all sorted. I'm a work in progress, and that is not going to finish until Jesus takes me home. So if I'm waiting till I've got it all sorted, I'm not going to stand up and be a part of what Jesus is doing. It's like, where I am, who I am, what I'm facing, the cool stuff that I've made my way through, and the challenges that are still before me, God is saying, come on, Pat, stand up and be a part of what I'm doing. And I believe, you know, as I was preparing this, that this is something for people here tonight, it's for something for people tomorrow, that there's a call to stand up. It's like there's this engaging of our will. So that like Isaiah, when he heard the words, who will go and whom will I send? And he didn't even know what to. Who will go and whom will I send? He just goes, Lord, here I am, send me. Or Peter, in the boat, doesn't even quite understand what he's seeing, except that Jesus is doing something really cool out of the boat. And he dives out to get involved in what Jesus is doing. It's like this attitude on the inside, which is, God, I want to be a part of the solution to planet Earth. I know I don't have all the answers. I know I don't have it all together myself. But if my church is taking answers into Liberia, I want to be a part of it. If my church, through Port Care, is doing something extraordinary in this great city, then how, God, I'm in. I don't even know exactly all of what that means, but I'm in. You hear what I'm saying? It's like this positioning. It's a standing up on the inside. And that was the first thing that Jesus called Paul to do. He says, stand up. Then look at verse 16, the second part. And this is our second point. It says, I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're appointed. We have been appointed. Jesus appeared to us for a reason, just as he appeared to the Apostle Paul for a reason. It's not so that we can go, well, that's really nice, I get to go to heaven. There's more to it. Appointing means this, chosen for his use. chosen for his use. He appeared to you and I to choose us for his use. Now, when I let that sit on my spirit for a moment, that blows me away. And it blows me away as time goes on and I become more and more aware of my own humanity and the things I'm unable to do and the times I stuff up. It blows me away more and more that God would choose me to be a part of something that would last forever. Because you see, the things that are happening in this church, the things that the stories that are being told, the projects that are a part of Leap into Spring, they change people's eternal destinies. Involvement in this is involvement that's going to have people that right now, while we are speaking, are not yet in the kingdom. That right now, as we are meeting together, don't know the hope we have, but because of what is done in this church, are going to meet Jesus and have their eternal destiny changed. Now, what a privilege that is when we consider our own humanity, that God would choose us for his use. I thank God for that. And look at what he chooses us for. He says, I've appeared to you to appoint you, to choose you for my use as a servant. Oh, hang on a minute. I thought it was going to be a little bit more exciting than that. A servant. Oh, that's often how we can respond to that word in our culture, because servant is sort of looked at as being a little bit beneath, bit below, servile, not the top of the pile. If you're the servant, well, you're just the one that looks after the menial tasks for the people who are really important. Can I assure you of something tonight? That is not the way the kingdom views being a servant. It is completely different. Indeed, when we get to be a servant of the living God, it is like we have made ourselves a part of his royal household, pulling off the special stuff that the king wants us to do. And just check out the word of God and who the word of God calls servant of the Lord and uses it as a title of honor. Abraham, my servant. David, my servant. Joshua, my servant. Even when you look at the prophecies of Isaiah, Jesus, my servant. He's appointed you and I to the highest call in the kingdom, to be servants. That means that just all we are and what he puts in our hands, we don't use it for ourselves, but we use it for him. And that makes us a servant of the living God. He's appointed us to be a servant. And look at what else it says there. And a witness. Chosen for his use to be a servant and a witness. Now, I guess we all have heard that word before. What's a witness? Well, someone who saw something and tells others about it. But this witness is a bit deeper than that. It actually comes from a fairly scary Greek word. It comes from the word martis, which we know from the English word martyr. Now, that word's getting a pretty bad rap these days because there's some fanatics who kind of call themselves that as they take their own lives and also a whole lot of innocent people around them. But that's not what the Bible's talking about. The Bible is talking about someone whom through their life points to God. Now, some, it was the way that they checked out of this life and went into the next, that people looked at it and said, what is it about someone who's willing to give their life? There must be a whole lot to this Jesus that they're talking about, that they're willing to die for. But that's not the only way to be a martyr. You don't have to die for Christ to be a witness. You can also live for Christ. And this is what this is talking about, that we live for him. And a witness of what we've seen and a witness of what we will see. And this is exactly what you're doing. This is exactly what is happening every time somebody's need is met when they come to the charity that has been set up years ago and continues to minister through Port Care to so many families and so many people that are doing it tough. They are seeing a martyrs, a witness of God's love for them. And you are doing that in the Philippines to a people group who... I lived in the Philippines for 2 years, Amanda and I, not on the northern island of Luzon, but in the middle in Cebu. And like the Aita, a people group of small stature who had been pushed back into the mountains and felt just absolutely like they'd been pushed out of society, there was a group like that near where we lived called the Mamanwa. And if you ask them who they were, they would say, "I am a despised Mamanwa." That's how they saw themselves. And yet when Jesus came to the Mamanwa, you saw where there was only darkness, there was light. And that is what you are doing by getting involved with the Aita in Luzon. It's an extraordinary thing. You are doing this very thing that was the call upon Paul and is now the call upon us. He's called us to stand on our feet. We've been appointed or chosen for his use. Thirdly, we are rescued to be sent. Look at what it says. "I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them." Does anybody here feel like they've been rescued? Because ladies and gentlemen, you and I have been rescued with the most costly rescue in all of history. For us to know God, he had to send his son, his only son, his love son, to take our place. And we should have a firm grasp on the an understanding of this, that it was a rescue. Without that rescue plan, you and I would not have a hope nor a future. And I think that sometimes, especially if we've known Jesus for a little while, we can forget what we've been rescued from. Is anyone else like that? You forget what it was like. You forget what we've been rescued from. On Thursday, I had a spare day. So earlier in the week, I was at C3 Hepburn Heights, and what I was doing there all finished up on Wednesday night, and I thought, Thursday, I could do more work in my room, or I could go and explore. And so I jumped on a ferry, went over to Rottnest, got a bike, and I had an absolute ball. What a beautiful island that is. Pity it was on the only day this week with poured rain out there, but it was otherwise just brilliant. Now, I'm waiting at the ferry terminal in Perth, and I see this young guy there, and he's looking a bit like me in the way he's kitted out. He's got his walking shoes on, his shorts, his cap, little backpack, just standing there with the coffee by himself, and... we just said hello, and I said, "Oh, what are you up to?" "Yeah, going over to Rotto, and I'm going to get a bike." And I said, "Oh, I'm doing that too." And I just immediately thought, there's a God thing going on. Anyone been in those situations, you know there's a bit of a divine setup going on. And so we ended up spending the whole day riding our bikes from place to place. I shared with him my little bag of nuts. He shared with me his snakes. It got really close. You know, he had snake lollies. It was brilliant. And as the day went on, he just started talking about his world. 24, came from Mackay in Queensland. His job in the mines stopped. He thought he might get a job in the mines here. He came here, found out actually it's probably as tough as Mackay. There's a lot of people here, machinery operators, without jobs. He had a 12-month relationship with his girlfriend had just broke up, and he was doing really badly. He got really drunk. He drove his car. The police got him. He's now not able to drive his car. He's had to sell a whole bunch of things. He's one of these hardcore guys. He goes with his dogs into the bush and takes a Bowie knife, and his dogs corner the pig, and he goes in with his knife and finishes the pig off. And he had to sell his pig dogs. Now, how many of you have had to sell your pig dog? You know what I'm talking about. This is pretty bad stuff. And so I'm just spending this day with this 24-year-old Aussie, and he just doesn't know which way's up. He doesn't know how to do a relationship when he's telling me about his girlfriend and and about the way he was doing life, I thought, I'd leave you too, man. You know, that'd be tough. But he's just doing his best. And I just felt this, oh, God, let me show your love to this guy. And I ended up talking to him about Jesus and praying for him, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful thing. But I came home, as well as thanking God for the opportunity to talk to young Bill, I came God thanking him that he'd rescued me. Because, you know, I'm 51 now. I met Jesus when I was 15. I dread to think where my life would have been if that had never happened. Would my marriage be together? How would I be doing life? I don't think real great, actually. He's rescued us. He's rescued us. He has sent the greatest gift of love in Jesus Christ, and he's rescued us so that we might rescue others. Rescued to be sent. David Livingston is the name of our first African pastor. David is living in Cebu near the border of Uganda and Sudan. And when he was 15 years old, he was kidnapped by the Lord's Resistance Army. And he was kidnapped to become a child soldier. Now, I haven't talked to him about what actually happened, but normally what would happen is they'd kidnap a group of kids and they'd make one of the group kill one of the others so they could never go back. I've not asked David what happened when he was kidnapped, but he was kidnapped by the LRA and then he escaped. And then the Ugandan army found him and said he was a rebel and put him in jail. Now you can imagine what a Ugandan army cell would be like. And they were transporting him to another prison and then he escaped. And he made his way into Kampala, and a lady there, who is the mother of a C3 pastor from Tasmania, name is Giacometti, shared the gospel with this young Ugandan guy from the north. And he met Jesus. And everything changed. Everything. Now, he was still wanted in the north. The army still wanted him, but he met Jesus and his world had changed. And there was hope where there was no hope, and there was light where there was no light, and everything changed. And then over a period of time, he felt God saying, I want you to go back up where you came from. Still wanted by the army. The LRA is still doing their thing. But he moves back up. And in 1999, was visiting our church in Australia because was a part of a charity at that stage. And he was visiting our church and we prayed over him because to get back even to his town, he'd have to go in a convoy through a war zone. So we prayed for safety. And as he's walking back to his chair, Pastor Phil goes, David, when you go back, plant a C3 church. And David goes, yes, sir. And goes and plants the first C3 in all of Africa. The convoy on the way back is attacked. People in the car in front are killed. People in the car behind are killed. All hell broke loose. And yet now, under his care, is 30 churches in the north. And that was the first of what Pastor Nigel said before, is now 90-something churches in the continent of Africa, and we have only just begun. We've been rescued to be sent. And this church, when we know Jesus, we've got so much to offer to this community, but also to all the communities that you're involved in. It is just extraordinary. And the fourth thing that we are called to, it says, we are sent to open their eyes and to turn them to God. Verse 18, open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. Darkness to light. Has anyone experienced here darkness to light? Where there was no hope, but then there was hope. Where there was no way through, but then there was a way. Where there was no reason you thought to keep going, but then you found out the reason for everything. And that is what you are doing in Liberia. The work you are doing, that you are sacrificially funding in that great nation which has had far too much suffering. And now it's time for the church to rise up there and to bring answers where no one else can. You know the extraordinary thing about the church? I was reading an article recently written by an atheist who was looking at all of the aid done in Africa. And he said, I don't like to say this, but there's one inescapable conclusion. The people that do the best transformation are the church. And that's what you were doing. Turning people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Could you imagine being a little girl and being sold by your family to be a sex slave? Because that's what happens in Cambodia. What would you think of life? Probably, because it's a Buddhist country, it'd go something like this. I must have been pretty bad in my past life. And though this is horrible, I deserve it. And I hope that maybe it gets me better in my next life because there's no hope in this. And imagine getting rescued from that. From the power of Satan trying to destroy the image of God in these little girls. And coming into relationship with Jesus, where the image of God, that they are beautifully and wonderfully made and they are like him and have inherent value just because their Father in heaven loves them. That's from the power of Satan to God. And they'll receive forgiveness and salvation. I believe that what is happening in this church is that is happening in so many of these situations that you're going into, that there is a turning. The turning of an individual is called repentance, where people are going one way and then they're going another because they meet and they come into relationship with Jesus. And sometimes it's as a group that we do this. We do it as a church. We come together and we sacrificially, each one of us, bring what God's put in our hands to the best of our ability so that we would make a difference in the planet. We've been doing this in our church for many years in Oxford Falls. And over the years, I have found it such a privilege to be a part of that from the people that are on high incomes to the people that are doing it tough, that we're all able to be a part of changing someone's tomorrow. And that we've been able to see so many lives, Africa, parts of Asia, Sydney. It's just the most extraordinary thing. I wonder if we could, across this auditorium this evening, just close our eyes in the presence of God. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are here right now. We thank you that you are speaking to each one of us by your Spirit. The first thing, God, that we want to say is thank you, thank you, thank you for the privilege of knowing you, for what you have saved us from and what you have saved us to. Thank you, God, that we have been appointed, chosen for your use. Thank you, God, that you are calling us to be able to stand and be a part of the solution to this community. That there's people right now that do not know what to do and what tomorrow holds, and you have given us the answer. And that these communities around the world, in the Philippines, Cambodia, India, Burma, Chinese border, Liberia, that God, we could be a part of something that is so much bigger than ourselves, because we place what you've put in our hands into your hands. So God, we are thankful. We're so thankful. So, so thankful for what you have done in us. And what we can do, that the fruit that you have put before us will last for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, that you've rescued us to be sent. That the price of our rescue was the highest price that could ever be paid. The life of your Son, Jesus Christ. And that, God, we get to bring light to the lives of those around us. That we get to bring connection with God rather than being under the power of the devil. And that people know you forever. For all of this, God, we say thank you. Now, just while everybody's eyes are closed, if you're here this evening, and as I've been speaking, you might be feeling, you know, I'm hearing about all of these amazing things that our church has done, and I knew about it, but hearing more about it, wow, I'm stirred. And the initial stirring is that you yourself want to make sure that you are walking close with Jesus. Now, maybe you've known him for some time, and it feels like at the moment he's at a distance. That your walk with him has gone a little bit cold. That your relationship with him is a bit dry. And you can feel the Holy Spirit tonight saying, it's time to come back. Time to do the journey back. Don't stay far. I've paid the price that you can come near. Now, if that's you this evening, just while everybody's eyes are closed, you're thinking it's time to come back or even to come to know him for the first time. You might have been in church setting for a while, but you've never got to that place where you've said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. While everybody's eyes are closed, can I just ask you to indicate to me that you want me to pray for you just by putting your hand up in the air? Thank you. I see your hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else, either to be prayed for the first time, or you're saying, Jesus, I want to come back. I'm sorry I've gone in a bit of a journey away, but today I'm coming back, and there's excitement on the inside that's happening. If that's you, just put your hand in the air. It'll be my pleasure to pray for you this evening. Thank you, Lord. Can I just get everybody to look this way? I'm just about to hand over to Pastor Nigel. And when this evening's done, could I just ask the lady who put a hand in the air, I'll just come down here. And I'd like to pray for you, because that's an awesome thing that God's doing. So I'll just be right here. And I'll pray with you. Bring your friend down that's with you, and we'll pray and we'll do something awesome.
It's great.
Amen. I'm really pumped about what God's doing in our midst. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here. I'm really excited for tomorrow, for tonight, for what we're about to do. It's been just a blessing to be able to share with you. Thank you very much.